John chapter 14. We're going to read from verse 12, and then we're going to read on from there. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you." Some Christians wear little bracelets that say WWJD, short for "What Would Jesus Do?" Jeff Moore's got one there. There's a live performance there of WWJD, "What Would Jesus Do?" Now, some of you, quite a few of you are new to the Christian faith and are on your way to the Christian faith. You're wondering, what's that all about? A while back, there was a book written called "What Would Jesus Do?" And it was a novel, and it was very popular in America. And people picked up on the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" And they said, that's a great phrase to take with you into your daily life. So then some enterprising people say, well, we can make bracelets that say WWJD, "What would Jesus do?" And it reminds you, whenever you go into a situation, you ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? And when you find out what would Jesus do, well, then you can do it. You can be like, Jesus, this is a great idea. There are some people who criticize you for doing that. But there's some people who criticize you for breathing, really, so I wouldn't pay too much attention to that. It's a great idea. It just struck me that wouldn't it be good if we had another one, on the other hand, that said WITHSTMTD. Now, I realize that this might not be the greatest fashion icon I'm inventing here. And there's also quite a lot of words. You'd need quite a thick wrist to get all those around a bracelet, wouldn't you? Otherwise, it'd be very small, and you need to carry a magnifying glass around with you the whole time. So I have this vague feeling this might not catch on. But it struck me that it could say, what is the Holy Spirit telling me to do? What is the Holy Spirit telling me to do? Because I think it balances the WWJD. I mean, it's not quite as catchy as WWJD, but it does balance. I was on a preparation for retirement course at the Baptist Union this week, and Baptist ministers within 5 years of notionally retiring, at least, invited on this course, and it's great. We're a load of old codgers, and it's a great time. I had a wonderful time, but one of them said, began talking about health, and one of the ladies said, when you're over a certain age, you can't shut your eyes and stand on one leg without falling over. Of course, we all had to try it. And then we decided this was probably not a good health and safety act in a room full of old codgers who all stand on one leg and fall over. I cannot stand on one leg and shut my eyes without falling over. If you want to know, you were keen to know. I can't do it, and I'm not going to demonstrate it. But knowing you, that you'll be trying it in the middle of the sermon now. But the point is that you need two legs to balance. And I just think that what would Jesus do is well balanced by what is the Holy Spirit telling me to do. Because, you see, one works on character, doesn't it? One works on your knowing how to respond to people, on saying the right thing, and on just generally taking the character of Christ with you into every situation. And the other is the unexpected. It's being prompted by the Holy Spirit, is to do unexpected things. Andrew and I were praying in the prayer room before the beginning of the service. Andrew said, he said a really good thing. He said, this is the verse that says, God says, I'm doing all things new. He said, the trouble is we have difficulty modelling that because we can't imagine what God would do if we let him loose. I think that's a good point, yeah? So I just think we need to balance the predictable, what would Jesus do, with the unpredictable, what is the Holy Spirit telling me to do? And so I think if we got those two in any situation, it's going to be great. There was a cartoon I heard another minister refer to. I don't have the cartoon, but he referred to it, of a man on a psychiatrist's couch. And the man was saying, he said, Doctor, I'm worried about the energy crisis. And he went through it, the situation in Syria, upheaval in Africa, and a whole list of things that were wrong in the world and difficult. I'm worried about them. And it finishes with the psychiatrist saying, move over, and getting onto the couch as well, because he can't cope with it either. I just think that life is a bit like that. You know, we don't have to even take the big things, even the little things, the difficult situations, at work. Just, you know, that taking a deep breath before you knock on the door of that work colleague or the bullying boss. That difficult neighbour who walks towards you and they haven't seen you. Do I cross the street at this point before they see me, or do I smile and say, you know what you've got to do, but it's kind of hard to do it at times. I remember once hearing a great preacher, one of the old-time evangelists, talking about when he was a boy. He was apprenticed in one of these shipyards, I believe in Belfast. And the men used to abuse the young boys, the young apprentices, and play tricks on them and humiliate them. And they knew he went to church, so they grabbed him and they put him in the middle of the circle. And they said, right, you believe in this God. Let's see what your God can do to save you. You get on your knees and pray. So he got on his knees and prayed for about a minute. And they said, well, what did you pray for? He said, I remember Daniel in the lion's den, how God shut the mouths of the lions. I prayed that God would shut your mouths, and not one of you has spoken for a minute. And the men just quietly walked away, left him. Yeah? So there are times, there are times you need the what is the Holy Spirit telling me to do bit. Now, if you love Jesus, you'll keep his commands. That's what Jesus says here. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. That's the what would Jesus do bit, isn't it? If you obey me, you'll keep my commands. That's the WWJD. That's the bracelet on one hand bit. But then verse 16 says, I will ask the Father, he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. And that's receiving the Spirit. And that is what is the Holy Spirit telling me to do bit. That's the bracelet on the other hand. So let's take a look at verse 16 and see what Jesus is promising to do. And in verse 16, it says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. He will give you another advocate, the Spirit of Truth, who will be with you. I was just thinking, you know, if you're kind of thinking of becoming a Christian, what am I getting into here? What am I getting into here? Jesus promises to give you his Spirit. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Who's promising? Well, Jesus is promising. And how much you believe promises depends on who's promising it. When a politician makes you promises before elections, you tend to take them with a pinch of salt, don't you? This is going to be a great opportunity to talk about some great broken promises, but I really don't want to go down that way. But, there are times people promise, you say, no. But Jesus said, I am promising. I am promising. This is what he's saying. I am promising. Leon Morris says the Greek here is emphatic. So what Jesus is saying, no lesser person than I am promising. Which kind of takes it to a new level, does it not? No lesser person than I am promising. The Christian experience is based on love. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my teaching. And it's important to remember that the Christian experience, becoming a Christian, deciding to follow Jesus, is based entirely on love. And the church has got that so wrong down the years. The Emperor Constantine turned that relationship of love into power politics. The Catholic Church turned it into a global empire. The Crusaders turned it into a war. The Puritans turned it into a book of rules. But Jesus originally said that our relationship with him is based 100% on love. And because he loves us, he gives us his Spirit. He gives us his Spirit. A couple of days ago, a little slip came through my door from the post office saying there was a parcel for me in the depot in Euston Road. So I got the slip and I went down and I showed the slip. I said, there is a parcel here for me. Yes, sir. And the man disappeared to his little room at the back, came back with my parcel because it was mine. He didn't say, actually, it looks quite a nice parcel. I think I'll keep it for myself. He couldn't because it had my name on it. It was for me. He didn't say, that looks a very nice thing you've got in there. I think it's above you. You look a bit of a scruff to me. I really don't think you're good enough for that parcel. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I don't think you look after that very well. I'm going to keep it. It had my name on it, therefore it was mine. He was obliged to give it to me. And Jesus says, I am giving you the Holy Spirit. You might be a bit of a scruff, but I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm doing for you. That's what I do because I love you. Because I love you. And the translation we have here, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit another counselor. This causes immense problems to theologians and to preachers alike, because it's a difficult word to translate from the Greek. The Greek is parakletos or parakletos. And I just had a quick look through various translations. Counselor, comforter, divine helper, advocate, lawyer, intercessor, strengthener, and standby. I think standby is the fail on that list. Although it's a literal translation, Because parakletos is somebody called to be alongside you. So stand by does kind of literally translate it, although it's rather misleading. It's all about being with you. It does have a legal sense. It was used as in a legal sense in the ancient world. They could have called your lawyer your parakletos, but it had a much wider use. And it could have a military use. It could be used of somebody who is rallying the troops. A general who rallied his troops would be a parakletos. He'd go there on his horse and he'd say, into the battle once more, into the breach, dear friends, once more. That's being a parakletos. Yeah? The whole point is that the Holy Spirit comes alongside us. So Jesus has promised to give us the Holy Spirit. That's a promise that he is not going to go back on. Jesus doesn't go back on his promises. You follow Jesus, you'll have the Holy Spirit in your heart, in your life, in your being. You will walk with the Holy Spirit. That's your promise. That's a dead certainty. And Jesus promised in verse 16 that the Holy Spirit is going to minister in us to help you and be with you forever. I was just thinking, if Jesus lived next door, how many times would you have knocked on his door this week? If your week has been like my week, it would have been quite often. In fact, I'd him down the coffee shop every day. But you'd be knocking on the door. Actually, if Jesus lived next door, you'd probably take him to work, wouldn't you? And introduce him to your workmates. Hey, guys, this is Jesus, wouldn't you? Of course you would. You'd have a meal, invite him and the people around. Hey, come and meet Jesus. You'd argue with the guests, by the way. He would argue with them, but you could invite them. Some of you would take Jesus mountain climbing, wouldn't you? I know you. You take him mountain climbing or walking or kayaking. I don't know what you do. And if Jesus called you on a trip, you'd go. The point is that he's not living next door in that sense. But he sent his Holy Spirit to do what he would do if he was living next door. Am I communicating here? Yeah? The Holy Spirit is going to do in your life exactly what Jesus would if he was renting a room in your house. Holy Spirit kicks us out of our comfort zone and comforts us when we've been kicked. There's a promise of doing greater things in verse 12. Truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. And if that sounds scary, and to me that does sound scary, actually, that I could do greater things than Jesus, that frightens me. But I've got to remember it's all based on love. If you take that away from love, it gets very frightening. But it's based on love. It's on a solid foundation. Jesus loves you. And he will do in you what he wants. Leon Morris, again, the commentator, said, the work of the Spirit in the believer is a consequence of the saving work of Christ. Jesus died on the cross and rose again so that he could give you the Holy Spirit. So you don't spend your whole life looking at your bracelet and saying, what would Jesus do? You can look at the other bracelet and say, what's the Holy Spirit telling me to do here? You can be guided through the difficult situations. Does that make sense? How you translate the word parakletos, I don't know. I like the word the strengthener or the empowerer. That's a good word. Is there a word, the empowerer? Oh, Shakespeare could invent words, why can't Peter Cousins? The empowerer, in the Cousins translation of the New Testament, another commercial disaster on the horizon. The Holy Spirit, the empowerer. But Jesus has warned also that some will not receive the Holy Spirit. And you just need to go to verse 17 to be brought down to earth. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. If you're not following the truth, then you won't receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings truth, is the bringer of truth. The Holy Spirit is the truth in your mind. Let me illustrate it. A while back, I was reading a book by Terry Pratchett. It's called I Will Wear Midnight. And if you're not into that kind of literature, I really don't recommend it. But I love the book. And there's a point in the book where one of his characters is confronting an evil spirit. And in fact, it's the main character in the book. And she's confronting the evil spirit. And she suddenly sees through the camouflage. And she sees through the way that this evil spirit is working. And she says, your power is only rumor and lies. You bore your way into people when they are uncertain and weak and worried and frightened. And they think their enemy is other people, when their enemy is and always will be you, the master of lies. Outside you are fearsome, inside you are nothing. I thought that's phenomenal. Isn't that just how the devil works? He bores his way into people's minds when they are weak and worried and uncertain, and convinces them that the reality is something entirely different, that their enemy is someone or something else when he is their enemy. That's tremendous, absolutely tremendous. And when you think about it, I mean, we're celebrating this week the great battles of Normandy, aren't we, the D-Day landings, and I don't want to demean them. But the greatest battles are actually, they are fought within the human mind. That's where the greatest battles go. That's where battles are won and lost. They're in the human mind. As the human mind yields to the powers of darkness, as the human mind yields to lies and misdirection and manipulation, lives get lost. Lives fall apart. Lives end in tragedy. Communities end in conflict. Wars begin. Nations rise up against nation. All based on lies in the human mind. And Jesus said, you know, the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. When the Spirit of truth enters your mind, he begins to straighten your mind out. And that's where the battle's fought, in your mind. The Spirit of truth will straighten your mind. The Spirit comes to us as Christ. Through the Spirit, I will walk with Jesus every day. Through the Spirit, I will do what Jesus did. Well, I've got to follow the Spirit. It's why I entitled the sermon, "The Holy Spirit Looks a Lot Like You." And if you're wondering what the Holy Spirit looks like, the Holy Spirit looks like you. When you are inspired by him, when you are led by him, when you are filled by him, when you are empowered by him. Try to be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? I commend it. Listen to the Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit telling me to do? That's the other part of it. And developing that sensitivity is part of being a Christian. Growing in listening to the Spirit of God is part of being a Christian. We've just had a wonderful 4 or 5 months in the evening services. We've been studying prayer, but we set up a Facebook page, a closed Facebook page, only open to people who attended the evening service, called Walking Together with Prayer. And we tried to make that a kind of practical outpouring or practical outworking of the lessons we were learning in prayer as we followed a book by Bill Hybels. And it was very successful. Don't try and join. We're closing it this week. But as we did that, we learned to pray. It taught us to learn to pray throughout the day, not just once a day, and just to hold each other up in prayer. Somebody would be in a meeting, we'd be praying for them. Somebody had a problem at work. Somebody was out of a job. Tib was one of them. Out of a job, we prayed. The jobs came. And I just sat down and I just made a list of all the prayers that have been answered. It's been a remarkable journey. But that listening to God is all about the Spirit of God working in you. And it just develops throughout the day. That's what God wants to do. Jesus, let me finish with this. Jesus wants to give you his Holy Spirit. He's promised to give you his Holy Spirit. He will give you his Holy Spirit. You only need to receive him into your life and ask. It comes as part of the package. And developing that throughout your life is going to depend on you having that bracelet around your wrist. WITHSTMTH. Spirit as he leads you. David Watson said that, you know, the problem is that when you start listening to the Spirit, it's like opening the windows in a wind. The wind comes whistling through and all the papers, everything goes up in the air. And so people don't like that. So they shut the windows and keep things nice and quiet. Well, in this church, we don't mind when the Holy Spirit rustles the papers and does new things.